Okay, so we're also receiving live images from the southern city of Zahedan. As we told you before, after the coronavirus pandemic and after 2 years of hiatus, we are witnessing rallies once again on the occasion of International Quds Day. And in Iran, at least 900 cities are holding these rallies, and we're receiving live images from them right now. People are out on the streets. It is 10 a.m. According to 10 a.m. Tehran time, and we have images from Mashhad, Bojnord, and Zahedan, and other cities. Of course, we will be receiving some live images of people who are coming out in support of Palestinians. Now, Mr. Qomsiya, we talked about Israel's vulnerabilities. Let's talk more about Gaza's defense capabilities in line with what you just mentioned, that these are the final years of the Zionist regime.
Well, I don't want to overestimate the weaknesses of the Zionist regime. Of course, still has the support of Western governments, including the U.S., which is the main hegemonic imperial power in the world today. However, you know, as pointed by your other guest, there are changes in the world, and we see geopolitical changes. We see China and Russia rising. We see them even asserting themselves in ways that are unexpected, like happened with Russia recently, and its willingness to even go to war to defend its interests and its rights in the areas of Eastern Europe, and because NATO is expanding at the expense of Russia, basically. So we see some geopolitical changes, but we do not want to underestimate the power of the evil, so to speak, in this world. And we have to challenge it, and we have to organize better, and we have to ensure that we don't have collaborators in our midst, as happens with the Arab regimes that are normalizing with Israel, United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and those countries, and even Saudi Arabia, which is a big defender of the State of Israel, if you want, under the table. They haven't come above the table yet, like the United Arab Emirates did. So we have to challenge those systems of collusion and collaboration, which are, of course, against people's interests, whether the people of their own country or people like Yemen who are being subjected to genocide by those client regimes of imperialism in Israel. That's a big picture. On the small picture within Palestine, we have to remember there are 6.2 million Palestinians. 2 million of them are in the Gaza Strip. But all 6.2 million are potential resistors. Some of them resist actively, nonviolently. Some of them use our
Okay, so it seems that we've lost our guests there. We had with us Muhammad Zaki, Maldivian political activist, live from Istanbul, and also Dr. Mazen Qomsiya, Palestinian scientist and author from Bethlehem, discussing different aspects regarding the Palestinian resistance against the Zionist regime. And in the meantime, you're also watching some live images that we're receiving from Quds Day rallies in Iran. As we told you, after a two-year hiatus, we are witnessing Quds Day rallies in at least 900 cities across Iran and also in other cities across the world. And in our special coverage of International Quds Day, we'll be bringing you live images from these rallies from different parts of Iran and different parts of the world. We will be talking to people who are taking part in these rallies and also discuss the different aspects of the resistance in the occupied territories and also the significance of this public international support for the oppressed Palestinians. Let's take a short break.
through the Islamists. روز عود روزی است که اسلام را باید احیا کرد و احیا بکنیم و قوانین اسلام در ممالک اسلامی اجرا بشود.
امام موضوع فلسطین را با اصرار تلاش زیادی کرد و در ادامه اون امام امروز جامعه ما موضوع فلسطین تبدیل بشود به موضوع اول عالم اسلامی.
هیچ عوامل و آثار پایداری در این نظام دیده نمی شود. آثار پایداری از اعمال است. اعمالی که رژیم صهیونیستی انجام می‌دهد، این اعمال بیانگر ناپایداری است این نظام است. نه آثار پایداری نظام رژیم صهیونیستی. ما این آثار را می‌بینیم. ما این حال را حس می‌کنیم. ما این وحشت به دست پا زدن‌ها را به این دیوانه‌وار عملیات‌های غیر ناجح را می‌بینیم. اینها آثار اون تلاش‌های مذبوحانه آخرین است. به این دلیل عرض می‌کنم این نظام نظام پایداری نخواهد بود.
همه این جنگ بر سر مسجد الاقصاست. همه این توطئه‌های حول عالم اسلامی هم بر سر همین مسجده.
This is Tehran, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We are covering live the International Quds Day events here in Tehran.
Yes, it's 10:07 Tehran time, and the rallies and marches on International Quds Day have just started in every corner of Iran and, of course, many parts around the world.
That's right. The holy city of Quds, or Beit al-Maqaddas, will remain forever the capital of Palestine. It is also the first Qibla, or direction of prayer, of Muslims. Because the holy Al-Aqsa Mosque is located in the city of Al-Quds, or Quds al-Sharif, as we say, this city is of special importance to Muslims. The significance of the city of Al-Quds lies in the fact that the Holy Land of Palestine has historically been the place where many Prophets of God have lived. It is the first Qibla, or direction of prayer, of Muslims, and it is the place where Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, ascended to heaven, a process known as Mi'raj. It is also true to say that the city of Al-Quds has a special significance for other Abrahamic religions as well, such as Christians and Jews. It is for this reason that the city of Al-Quds has a special significance. And we can say that.
And of course, many academics, intellectuals, artists, and cultural figures around the world welcome the designation of the last Friday of Ramadan as World Quds Day. And in Islamic Iran, just as in other countries, masses of people thronged to the streets on World Quds Day, showing their support for the Palestinian struggle, and in marches and rallies called for liberation of occupied Palestine. According to media reports, rallies and marches are held each year in at least 80 countries. And we've seen these marches and rallies have been held in European countries, in Latin America, in the United States, I think on Saturday and Sunday.
That's right, that's right. And we can also say that these rallies and marches are a tremendous boost to the Palestinian cause. It gives the Palestinians morale, it boosts their morale, and it gives them added motivation to continue their resistance.
Yes, and right now there are massive marches and rallies in different cities of Iran, including Mashhad, Arak, Sari, Rasht, Tehran, the capital city, Tehran, in Zahedan. There are massive rallies in support of Palestine, in support of the liberation of Palestine and against the fabricated regime of Israel.
That's true.
For your information, the founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, in support of the Palestinian cause, designated the last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan as International Quds Day. Imam Khomeini urged all Muslims of the world to join hands to unite in support of the oppressed Palestinians and in confrontation of the Israeli regime and its backers. On August 7th, 1979, when the Islamic Revolution was less than a year old and the Islamic Republic a fledgling state, the late Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, called upon all Muslims to take part in rallies and marches on the last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan, displaying their solidarity and support for the lawful rights of Muslim Palestinians. The Imam said World Quds Day rallies will actually display the unity and cohesion of the Islamic Ummah.
That's right, and it's a huge inspiration, of course, for the Palestinians in general to see that around the world, rallies and marches are held every year on the last Friday of the fasting month of Ramadan in support of the Palestinian cause.
And we've just have a new report saying that demonstrations on World Quds Day are taking place in 900 cities and towns across the Islamic Republic to mark Quds Day. And now, dear listeners, we go live to Press TV headquarters to have a discussion on World Quds Day. Please take a listen.
Because, of course, Imam Khomeini was here in Iran, but then we see throughout the world, first in regional countries, then just expanding throughout the world, as today we're having rallies from the west to the east, northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere. The effect of what Imam did and how it has spread.
I think that the initiation of this day and the symbolism that it has of course, reached transnational levels, dimensions, and importance. And as you mentioned, we see that including in Western cities, in Europe, North America, people are taking to the streets and protesting. And I think it is a very significant day because, of course, the Palestinian struggle is ongoing. Palestinians have been struggling for decades with the Zionist terrorism and occupation. And having a day that, to some extent, unifies people and reminds them of the importance of the resistance and also reiterates the idea of hope and of the liberation that will eventually come, I think has a very important, especially symbolic meaning. But it also, as a show of solidarity, shows Palestinians that people around the world are still committed to the Palestinian cause. And I also think that the state reveals the discrepancies, especially when we talk about the Western world and the you know, very powerful Western European countries and North America, where governments and elected officials, of course, side with the Zionist terrorist regime. But that does not mean that the people are standing with the Zionists or against Palestinians. So I think with these rallies and protests, we see that there is popular support for Palestine and dedication to human rights, in particular, in many places across the world.
Well, Sarbaz, Sarbaz Ruhollah, I want to talk about the, again, we're still looking at Imam Khomeini's basically suggestion and saying that this day should be International Day of Quds. I want to talk about the significance also from the perspective of this was just taken when he said this was right after the revolution. We're talking about an Arab country. We're talking about the majority of people are Sunnis and Christian. And we know that throughout the 43 years since the victory of the Islamic Revolution, how many times that there have been those that try to condemn Iran for just spreading and supporting a Shia ideology or being anti-Sunni or being anti-Arab. I want to talk about the significance of what he did from the very beginning, prioritizing Palestine.
Yeah, in fact, the reality is that not after the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran in 1979, but before that, years before that, when Imam was on exile in Iraq, you go and read and follow his speeches there. You find that Imam was talking about Palestine and again and again. I mean, the connection between the Iranian Revolution and the Palestinian cause is really deep. In fact, I shall say that the ignition of the Iranian Revolution took place when Imam had a speech in Qom in which he reacted to several points, and among them was this prohibition of talking against Israel in the Iran's of Shah regime. So even that speech was very well known to Iranians, and after that Imam was arrested and sent on exile. So the connection of the Palestinian cause with the Iranian Revolution is deep. It's actually in the essence of the Iranian Revolution. And from the very beginning, as was mentioned, Iran was the first delegation, international delegation that came to Iran was the delegation of Yasser Arafat, who came to Iran and who came to Iran to congratulate to the Iranian Revolution and the leaders of the Iranian Revolution. And then he got the key of the Palestinian embassy as the first embassy of Palestine across the globe. So that's quite, related to the essence of the revolution. So something like after the revolution, Iran started to, make connections and pay attention to the revolution. Even if you come to the grassroots level of the Iranian revolutionary people, they were highly interconnected with the Palestinians. You should know that there are several Iranians who fought for Palestine before the revolution, who got martyred. Among them, we have a very well-known name, Shahid Muzaffar al-Irani. Muzaffar al-Irani was an Iranian student who was studying in UK at that time, in the 70s. And then he joined the Palestinian resistance movement, and he was martyred in an operation at the heart of Tel Aviv. And he was the commander-in-chief of that operation team. So, I mean, this connection, and after that, all the trainings that Iranians were getting also side by side and shoulder by shoulder of the Palestinian resistance fighters. So this connection is really something in the essence. And no one can disconnect Iran from Palestine. And of course, after the revolution and after the victory of the revolution establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran, it got a proper channel, it got its own priority, and it was at the top list of the Iranian foreign policies of the region. And let's not forget that it was Israel that was trying to eliminate any other hegemonic power at the region. So when the revolution took place, Israelis were from the very beginning against the revolution, and they did their best to eliminate this revolution. But the results after more than four decades is something totally vice versa from my perspective.
And Daniel, we fast forward now more than four decades from that declaration in 1979, and as I mentioned earlier, and how it's expanded all across the world. Do you think at this point in time that we're looking at more interest, greater interest in what is happening, especially after we've gone through another month of Ramadan that has seen violence in Palestinian territories, seen violence in Masjid al-Aqsa, and have seen many Palestinians, as usual, arrested, some killed, many injured. Do you think that this is clicking with world populace now, that more and more people are trying to get involved and say that enough is enough in dealing with the Israeli entity?
Yes, I do think so. As you mentioned, now during the holy month of Ramadan and the recent Easter celebrations, we've seen again different forms of violence by the Zionist terrorist regime against Palestinians, in particular on their holy days and in holy places against Palestinian worshippers. And this has, of course, created tension internationally and caused outrage among people worldwide. And we're at a point where, of course, if we look at the structure of the Zionist entity and of this very brutal and racist apartheid regime, we see that violence, physical violence, torture, oppression, geographic, physical segregation and separation are the only means for the apartheid regime to sustain itself and to exist And as Palestinians continue to resist and basically continue to exist on their indigenous land, they continue to pose a threat to the Zionist regime. And the Zionist regime has been coming up time and time again with new methods to control and contain the population, and is getting increasingly violent because this is the only way for them to sustain themselves. But of course, this is a war that they cannot win, because there is only, the Zionist regime cannot imprison an entire population for such a long time and do that successfully. And I think these the latest instances of violence that are also documented, and there are many videos and pictures that went viral, even through social media, through the internet, despite the discursive hegemony that the Zionist regime and its allies enjoy in online spaces and in the political arena, in the West in particular, the actual crimes are very well documented, the Palestinian voices are heard, and I think it is getting, and this is also shows the frustration of the Zionist regime as it's heading towards a defeat, because again, this is a battle that it cannot win, and no matter how much violence it continues to reproduce and invest in this. And I think it also shows a renewed hope for Palestine and for the eventual liberation that will take place.
Sarbaz Ruhollah, again, going back to 1979 and the victory of the Iranian Revolution, I want to look at your perspective about the significance in that victory and what we're seeing today play itself out in the occupied territories. We have seen definitely a different reaction from resistance movements now. Originally, when the Israelis would bomb Gaza at will, we saw the 33-day war, 22-day war, and then 11 days. It's getting less and less each time. And now we have seen reactions by the resistance forces, and now the latest news have come that even dealing with drones and that are even able to shoot down some Israeli missiles. I want to talk about the correlation with what is happening on the ground now in Palestine and that victory 43 years ago in Iran.
You know, the empowerment of the Palestinian resistance movements, of course, not one movement, but all the, you know, Palestinian resistance organizations with the Iranian Revolution is quite apparent. Iran did not hesitate to announce openly that we do support anyone who is fighting against the Israelis, and this is an open policy of Iran, as this is the open policy of the Zionist regime to, you know, confront Iranian revolution and, you know, from their perspective, eliminate and, you know, stop this revolution. Of course, this confrontation is going on, and the Iranians did all their, you know, did their best in supporting the Palestinian cause in all different levels. And here's the difference. I mean, of course, there are so many countries and nations. And I do not talk about nations here, I talk about the, you know, political structures here and there across the globe, that they do support the rights of Palestinians to a certain point. Yeah, they do support there should be a Palestine based on the 1970, before 1967 borders. Or they do support the idea of stopping the violence against Palestinians. These are good, of course. They do support the, you know, calling the Zionist regime as an apartheid regime. Of course, this is very good. I mean, this stand is very good. But it's not enough. It's not the whole story. It's not the whole story. The whole story is that all the Palestinian land, 27,000 square kilometers, should be free from occupation. And for this, there is a legitimate, reaction, which is resistance. And Iran is supporting this legitimate right of the Palestinian people. Of course, this support is costing for Iranian government and Iranian people.
Well, talk a little bit about that. You just said it's costly. Open that up a little bit, what you mean, Sarbaz Ruhollah, that Iran has also paid a price for it.
Yeah, let's look at it. Let's look at all the sanctions. You know, one side of the sanctions from the United States of America against Iran, even before the nuclear, case, those sanctions were all under the title of so-called supporting terrorism. And by terrorism, what do they mean? I mean, the Palestinian resistance over there. So they are, of course, putting pressure on Iran and Iran. They are, of course, trying to make allies in the region and put pressure on Iran. Look what they are doing by normalization of the ties with the Arab countries in the region, with Bahrain, with UAE, also putting pressure on Saudi Arabia. I mean, this is all costs that Iran and Iranian people are paying, actually, and no one is talking about it. Yes, of course, some may say that the money that is being transferred to the Palestinian side by Qatar or by Turkey is a huge amount. Of course, Iran is limited because of its sanctions. But even if Iran is not paying that amount of money, but the price because of the policies of Iran is much more higher than those, you know, those amounts of money that they're paying. Turkey is not paying that price. Qatar is not paying that price. With my all respect to these countries, but let's not forget there is a basic legitimate right for the Palestinians, and this is what all the Palestinian brothers and sisters are telling them, that Iran is supporting the cause of Palestine as it was, as it should be from the very beginning of the Palestinian cause. And let's not forget, put that military side issues aside. Let's come back again to the fourth state, international fourth state. Imam Khomeini announced international fourth state just within less than one year, a few months after the revolution of Iran, because it was the post-Ramadan, and then Imam came with this idea of making the last Friday, which is the Jum'at al-Wida, the final Friday of Ramadan, as the day of Quds. And it's interesting. It's really interesting that the Palestinian calendar had all these days, like the Yom Nikba, which is about the migration and the formation of the Israel. They have the Dan Day, which is the 30th of March. They had all these important days. But interestingly, the day related to the Jerusalem, to Al-Quds, was missing. And Imam came and put his finger on Al-Quds. And let's not forget, there is something really important going on nowadays. It's going on since the very beginning of the crisis of Palestine. The idea of two-state solution. The idea of two-state solution was the idea that by which the United Nations came for one. They tried to solve the issue of Palestine, and all these peace talks and peace negotiations are going on based on this idea of two-state solution. Let's be side by side. Let's live together. One of the main and most powerful logics that is proving that two-state solution is a failure is the issue of Al-Quds. Because even if you divide the land of Palestine into two parts, what are you going to do about Jerusalem? Jerusalem is one. Palestinians believe that Jerusalem is their capital. And this is what Zionists are also claiming. So if you come to the Haram, the Masjid al-Aqsa, which today is exactly about this Haram and Masjid al-Aqsa, Masjid al-Aqsa is one. You cannot divide it. How are you going to divide that? How are you going to make that, a part of the two-state solution? That's impossible, because you are facing one solid unit, which is Masjid al-Aqsa. And the hardline Zionists and the Zionists are looking after demolishing the Masjid al-Aqsa and making your, their own center over there. And the Palestinians are believing, and the freedom fighters across the globe believing that this is something belonging, this mosque is belonging to the Arabs and the Muslims, and no one has right over there except the Arabs and Muslims. So the idea of two-state solution and all these peace talks is failing when it's coming to solve the issue of Al-Quds, Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa. So Imam put his finger exactly on a missing part of the Palestinian cause, which was Al-Aqsa, Jerusalem, and the importance of this particular city and mosque, and the old city, and inside the old city, this particular mosque over there, Haram Sharif, Masjid Al-Aqsa. And this is exactly what we believe after 40 years, 43 years after that. Now you are observing it very clearly, that every year, the hottest days and nights of the Palestine are the days and nights of Ramadan, are the days and nights of Imam connected Al-Aqsa to the last Friday of Ramadan. It's like Imam was foreseeing what's going to take place in close future. Nowadays, Zionists are really, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. Last night, 250,000 Palestinians came to the Masjid Al-Aqsa. 250,000 Palestinians came to the Masjid al-Aqsa. And these are signs. These are signs. These are showing that if Palestinians get together around Masjid al-Aqsa, by putting the cause of Masjid al-Aqsa at the heart of their, you know, their struggle, how they can defeat the Zionists. And this is what took place last year. You see clearly from last year when they attacked the Masjid al-Aqsa, and there was a reaction from the resistance movements in Gaza by Hamas and other resistance movements in Gaza. And this year they were quite frightened. They are frightened that there may be a possible attack from the resistance movements, because this is the red line. They're not going to, you know, forget the importance of Al-Aqsa and remain silent about what they are doing against Masjid Al-Aqsa.
Thank you so much, Daniel Yechik, author and researcher out of Beirut. Sarbaz Ruhollah Rezvi, activist and political analyst out of Qom. Appreciate both of you being with us today on our rolling coverage here at Press TV of the rallies that are taking place not only inside the Islamic Republic of Iran, as you're looking at these images coming from various cities in the country, but we will be talking to people from different parts of the world. It's interesting, you're looking at Ahwaz there. Ahwaz is in the southern part of the country, and actually a very warm city. And again, people are fasting today, last Friday of the month of Ramadan. And as Sarbaz Ruhollah had talked about, the sacrifices that the Islamic Republic of Iran has made because of resistance and standing up for resistance in the Palestinian cause. Also, we must say that it's not something from just an administrative level or administrative level, but it's the people who have always played a very large part. And again, today, we're looking at during these long days of fasting, again, the people of the Islamic Republic of Iran turning out in mass to commemorate, again, another Day of Quds and demanding the independence of Palestine. I'm going to turn it over to my good colleague, Gisu, here in the studio with me. Gisu, take it away.
Well, Marzia, as you said so yourself, it is quite an important day today. After 2 years of hiatus because of the coronavirus pandemic, we're seeing once again mass rallies in different cities in Iran. As far as I know, more than 900 cities are going to hold mass rallies to commemorate International Quds Day. There are also going to be rallies in other parts of the world. And I'm also told that we will be receiving some live images from other cities, maybe other cities across the world. I know that we're going to be joined by our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandel, very soon, and we're just waiting for that connection to get some updates regarding that matter. Also, today, as it is a fasting month of Ramadan, we woke up to some really tragic news that once again Israelis have attacked worshippers in the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and more than three or four people were injured by the canisters and rubber bullets that were used to disperse the worshippers from that. And while these acts of desecrating Al-Aqsa Mosque continues, and that also, Marzia, in my opinion, highlights how important these rallies are to show support for the oppressed Palestinian nation that have trying to fight the occupiers for more than nearly seven decades, I assume. So we have with us our correspondent, Mona Kandel, live from Ramallah. Mona, it's nice to see you. It's International Quds Day. Tell us what's happening in Ramallah. When are the rallies beginning? What's happening behind you? Where are you standing?
Well, behind me is the Qalandia military checkpoint, Nodin, the occupied city of Al-Quds, of course. Today, it's the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan. Palestinians will be commemorating the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan, as well as International Quds Day. Thousands of Palestinians from all across the occupied West Bank came to Qalandia military checkpoint in an attempt to enter Jerusalem Al-Quds to commemorate the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan and International Quds Day. Palestinians from Jenin, Nablus, Ramallah, Salfit, Qalqilia, all of these cities, the Palestinians are coming from to enter from the Israeli military checkpoint of Qalandia. This is behind me. It's the path of Palestinian women. It said that women of all ages, Israeli forces, Israeli military, of course, said that Palestinian women of all ages are allowed to enter Al-Quds from the Qalandia military checkpoint. But the journey starts from here when Palestinians are not easily, of course, entering Al-Quds. There's the military checkpoint, as you can see. Israeli soldiers are standing and checking Palestinian women before allowing them to enter. There is the other way we will go, of course, the next hour there, where Palestinian men are supposed to enter to Qalandia. To Al-Quds from the Qalandia military checkpoint. The Israelis said that all men over the age of 40 are allowed to enter without Israeli issued permits, because we have to mention that Palestinians in the occupied West Bank are only allowed to enter Al-Quds after receiving Israeli issued permits. Only men over the age of 40. However, many of them arrived at the Qalandia military checkpoint and they were ordered to return back. It's propaganda by the Israelis that they allow men over the age of 40. However, many even till the age of 60 were not allowed to enter and they were ordered to return back. It's not clear why. However, when they arrive at the military checkpoint, they are ordered to leave and not to enter the holy city of Al-Quds. Today, as you have mentioned, there were clashes at the Al-Aqsa Mosque when Palestinians arrived at the Al-Aqsa Mosque and its complex following the morning prayers in order to pray the Fajr and morning prayers and remain at the Al-Aqsa Mosque and its complex for the noon, the Dhuhr prayers. However, Israeli forces raided Al-Aqsa Mosque and its complex and attacked people. They fired heavy tear gas, rubber-coated bullets against the Palestinian worshippers, and we are speaking about over 35 Palestinians were wounded during this aggression by the Israeli forces at the Al-Aqsa Mosque and its complex.
So, Mona, tell us about the Quds Day rallies. Are any rallies going to take place in Ramallah or any other parts of the occupied territories, maybe?
Well, Palestinians usually commemorate International Quds Day by heading to Al-Quds, especially that there are strict Israeli measures. It's not easy for Palestinians here in the occupied West Bank to hold such rallies and demonstrations against the first to commemorate International Quds Day, and of course it would be against the Israeli occupation. But one of these symbols would be hundreds of Palestinians would be coming from all across the occupied West Bank to Al-Quds. Israeli media had even reported this morning that the Israeli police would be sending over 3,000 Israeli soldiers and Israeli police officers to Al-Quds to be stationing there in fear of the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan. And they mentioned in fear of commemorating International Quds Day. They said that Palestinians today would be celebrating or commemorating International Quds Day, this day that was a day of solidarity initiated by Iran's Ayatollah Khomeini, as they said. Also, Israelis have claimed that they are afraid that the jihad movement would be had threatened that showing of, let's say, footage of the organization's aerial drones in a propaganda clip Jenin yesterday. It could be a message to the Israelis that the Palestinian Mona. Resistance groups are there. They would be respond Mona. To all the aggression and to all the crimes that had been committed by the Israelis. But we have also to say that during the holy month of Ramadan, and mainly Friday, the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan, Palestinian resistance groups prefer not to be directly engaged with the Israeli occupation forces because they know very well that Israeli soldiers would be attacking Palestinians. Like you can see that here women and children would be doing their utmost in order to enter Al-Quds. Any confrontation between Palestinian groups and the Israeli soldiers, then the Israeli soldiers here would be immediately attacking Palestinians at the Qalandia military checkpoint and the other military checkpoints in the occupied Mona? West Bank where Palestinians use in order to enter to Al-Quds.
Okay, thank you very much. That was our correspondent, Mona Kandel, who joined us live from the occupied territories. But we also have with us our correspondent from Tehran, if I'm not mistaken, Yousef Jaloli, is also with us to tell us what's happening in the Iranian capital on the occasion of International Quds Day. And let's see if we have any images from the Iranian capital where these rallies are taking place. Have they started? And there he is, Yousef Jaloli. Tell us what's happening, where are you stationed, and what's going on?
Well, Gisu, where I'm standing is the Inqilab Street in the vicinity of Inqilab Square, which is the hotspot of Quds rallies every year. And as you see behind me, people are gradually trickling in to mark Quds Day. Well, the International Quds Day is a significant pro-Palestine rally designated in 1979 by the late founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, as a means to show support for Palestinians and to show support and solidarity with the Palestinians in their struggle against decades-long Israeli occupation. Well, right now, this year is it's the first time after 2 years that Iranians and the world, of course, are marking Quds Day without serious worries about the coronavirus pandemic. So this is the first time you see people are again participating physically, taking part in the International Quds Day rallies. And, well, of course, to Iranians, it's a very important day in Iran. Of course, it was an initiative that was introduced by Iran. It was in 1979, as I told you, it was introduced by Imam Khomeini. And now the occasion has turned into a big and global pro-Palestine rally with people around the world and even Jews taking part in the rallies to show their support for Palestinians and denounce the Israeli occupation of the Palestinian lands. So we're expecting that the rallies get more dense, of course, with a greater number of people to participate, as this was the case every year. People from all walks of life gather and take to the streets, chant slogans against Israel and slogans in support of Palestine. They say that Palestinians need to be supported. The Palestinian cause should not be slipped into oblivion, and they believe that through such rallies they raise awareness of the Palestinian suffering, and they of course try to attract global support for Palestine and even find a way to end the Israeli occupation. So this is the ultimate goal of the Quds Day rallies, and this is why you see people taken to the streets, not only in Iran, across the Muslim countries, and even some nations that are not even Muslims, taking part in Quds rallies, even Jews, as I told you, across the world, and even inside Iran. We're expecting that the Jews in Iran to also take part in the rallies to denounce the Israeli occupation. As Jews, as we have repeatedly spoken to the Jews, at least in Iran, they believe that they are not with Israel. They, of course, do not. They're opposed to the Israeli occupation. Of course, they say that Israelis and the state of Israel, the so-called state of Israel, does not represent the Jews around the world. But that's a fake state, as, of course, put by the Jews whom I talked to. They said that Israel does not represent them and their beliefs. And that it's not a religion, of course. It's a political move aimed at occupying Palestine. That's the main goal of establishing the state of Israel. Of course, this year's rally is very significant, given the fact that Israel has ramped up and stepped up its fresh spate of raids on the worshippers, Palestinian worshippers, inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. And these people believe that it's an opportunity now on the Quds Day to once again raise awareness of the suffering of Palestinians and draw international condemnation against the Israeli forces who are continuously attacking the worshippers and cracking down on the Palestinian protesters who are demonstrating against the occupation and against the crackdown on Palestinian worshippers. Of course, Israel,
okay,
Israeli
Yusuf,
media,
can I stop
interestingly,
you right there,
say that the forces.
Yeah, that's actually a very important point you mentioned about the Jews right there. The fact that Jews do not support what's happening in the occupied territories, that is something that is usually pointed out, that the Zionist regime does not represent the Jews. Let's see what Marzia has to say about this very important point, which is also something that is highlighted during the International Quds Day rallies.
Yeah, exactly, Gisu. It's really interesting because, as Yusuf had said, and you also reiterated, we know that the regime in the occupied territories is a Zionist regime. It has nothing to do with Judaism.
And it's interesting to see Jews taking part in international Quds Day rallies.
Of course, we see that throughout the world, actually, that takes place. And a large anti-Zionist Jewish community inside of the United States that usually also participates in the demonstrations that take place and in the United States. And speaking about the United States.
Welcome back. This is the live coverage of International Quds Day. It's 10:48 Tehran time. And we have reports that IRGC Chief General Salami is going to address Quds Day rally at Tehran University. Also, we have reports that Quds Day rallies are taking place in 900 cities and towns across the Islamic Republic of Iran, and people are chanting death to America and death to Israel during these rallies.
That's right, and in occupied Palestine itself, we have received information that the Palestinian Red Crescent has confirmed that at least 12 Palestinians have been injured after Israeli troops raided the Holy Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in the city of Al-Quds. Also, Israeli troops fired tear gas and rubber-coated bullets at the Palestinian worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Latest information is that at least 12 Palestinians have been injured in this Israeli military attack on the Holy Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Yes, and now we go live to Press TV headquarters, where political analysts in London and Houston are talking about International Books Day. Yes, Masoud Shajere.
A political analyst is talking to Press TV in London. Let's listen in.
Congress in the U.S. since the past 25 years, and this year, alhamdulillah, even though people are still recovering from COVID, we still aren't COVID-free as a country, yet we have demonstrations taking place in Boston, Chicago, Dallas, Houston, New York City, North Carolina, Orlando, Seattle, Tampa, Washington, D.C., and the good news this year is specifically that there's a local Palestinian organization by the name of Al-Awda that is also organizing a Quds Day protest in Cleveland, Ohio. And in all of these protests, we also partner up with local organizations like the Palestine Youth Movement, Students for Justice of Palestine, and Jewish Voices for Palestine. This is a Jewish group of young individuals who always come in and support us. They don't identify themselves as Zionists. And that's the story of so many other Jews who live here in the U.S. who don't call themselves Zionists. And on the contrary, you have a lot of evangelicals who live in the U.S. who call themselves Zionist Christians. So that's a bit of an irony here in the U.S. But alhamdulillah, even in the past 2 years when the U.S. was drenched in COVID, we were still able to organize car rallies and protests for a free Palestine from the river to the sea.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Let me cross over to London and get Masoud Shajere in on this discussion. Thanks so much for being with us again. Now, you had started a couple of different types of campaigns. I saw that your organization had the Fly the Flag hashtag out there. In dealing with the Quds Day. And also tell us about the situation that you're trying to actually raise awareness and raise funds for those individuals who have been either the families who someone has been killed in Palestinian territories or hurt. Just tell us in general about your Islamic rights organization and its role in trying to help this Palestinian cause.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You're absolutely right, Mazia. We took a sort of a comprehensive approach, i.e. we got, for the month of Ramadan, campaigning for Palestine, for Nigeria, for Yemen. We had fundraising for all these places and indeed bringing awareness. We think it's very important to actually have a sort of collective and in this whole sort of approach to it. Vis-a-vis sort of Fly the Flag and so forth, we have had a huge amount of clips and things being done internationally and nationally supporting the right of the Palestinians and highlighting that this is something that is not sort of a religious, i.e. Jews on one side and Muslims on the other side. We have got partners both from religious Jews and indeed the secular Jews and the Christians, and our rally last Sunday, which 7,000 people attended, despite the fact that we are still in Corona period, it really highlighted this very clearly. Today, we have got, on top of the demonstration of Al-Quds, which was on Sunday, we have got a sort of double-decker bus rally and van ads with personalities and the leadership from the Jewish community, from the Christian community and the Muslim community and others going on these open sort of buses with the flags and the messages around the bus, going all over the London sort of for 6 hours, and there will be hardly anyone in London going out not being able to see these campaign, and it's sort of extremely popular by ordinary people in the street when they see sort of rabbis and imams and sort of priests are standing for the justice in Palestine. It destroys all the stereotyping which is being promoted by the Zionists to say that Zionism and Judaism is the same thing, and really sort of destroys those sort of false images that they're trying to create. Also, we have challenged our current education minister, who said that anyone giving slogans from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, needs to be dealt with by the police, both on Sunday and indeed every other day in the last month. We have been going in the streets and giving that a slogan and reaffirming that there should be nothing wrong with trying to make a land which is illegal occupied, a land that is under apartheid, free. We reemphasize that all the time. But I think another point that is very important to make in current year, you know, we in Islamic Human Rights Commission, our first report in 2001 highlighted that Israel is an apartheid state, and we did a campaign in Durban, South Africa, Conference of Racism, and the NGO forum voted to identify Israel as an apartheid state. Since then, that has become much more clear by the actions and the new laws that have been established in the Zionist state. And Human Rights Watch, Ben Salem, Amnesty International, number of reports by UN highlighted the nature of the apartheid. What we need to highlight now is that apartheid cannot be reformed. Apartheid has to be removed. Apartheid has to be wiped out. So people from the Jewish background, from the Muslim background, and the Christians and others could begin putting their lives forward in an environment where there is no racism.
Okay. Well, Mohsen, let me get you back in on this conversation. I just got some breaking news in, actually, as we've been talking here. 42 people now, 42 Palestinian injured so far today, Masjid al-Aqsa. Mohsen, this type of news that I'm giving right now about the amount of people who are injured, and of course, unfortunately, we report regularly the number of young people who are killed in the Palestinian territory. You're inside of the United States. How much do you feel that the average, how aware do you feel that the average American is of what is really happening on the ground in Palestine?
You see, media censorship exists, as everyone knows. Media censorship is a big part of the Zionist agenda here in the U.S. That's how they control the minds of the U.S. citizen. But with the advent of social media, what has happened is that there has been awareness now. With awareness campaigns on social media, we do see a change. Are we where we should be? I don't think so. We have a long way to go. But on-ground, grassroots-level activism does help a lot. Organizing these campaigns, especially the anti-BDS movement, we have news outlets like Min Press News. We have people like Abby Martin, for instance, who's a huge advocate against anti-BDS laws. So with these, you see, what's happening here in the U.S. is that injustice can only prevail to a certain extent. Censorship can only prevail to a certain extent. with social media, and I understand how social media also censors voices, but to a great extent, these rallies that we're organizing, these protests that we're organizing, and with independent grassroots journalism, there is a spread of awareness amongst the masses here in the U.S., and they're taking the issue of Palestine very seriously now, now that they're being made aware to the fact that so much of their tax dollars are being spent on Israel, whereas local Americans over here don't have medical facilities. Medicine is not free over here. Housing is not free. Education is not free in this country. And yet, we have billions and billions of dollars to donate to Israel for nothing in return. So it is something that is highly questionable, and the American people are thinking, as Rehber also mentioned in his speech, he said that the world is on